The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
And our Euro 2020 report features, as always, Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Cavalry FC and our Euro 2020 analyst, Mr. Wheeldon. How are you on this Wednesday?
I tell you what, we've been treated to some good football today, haven't we? And also, I mean, coaching football as well. So I'm fortunate now I get to talk football. So it's a good day.
All football all day for you, Mr. Wheeldon. And you're right. We've had some good action today. And you talked very glowingly about the Azzurri coming into this tournament. And here they are with two pretty lopsided victories. As about an hour ago, they closed out a 3-0 win over Switzerland to move to 2-0 in the group stage so far. Italians looking good.
They are. And that was why, you know, like we said at the start of these previews, that not many were talking about them, because obviously everyone gets in on the France and the Portugals as favourites, the Belgians and even England, because the finals, you know, being played at Wembley in London, you know, they are the names that come up. But now I think people are starting to see how good the Italians are. They've just sneakily gone about their job. I think in Roberto Mancini, he is a difference maker as their manager, because he's got them playing this slick football. It's impressive on the eye. I like to see the way teams attack and build out from the keeper, so they've got that. I also like to see what they do when they don't have possession, and they've got this kind of smooth, swarmy buzz that just suffocates the opposition and doesn't let them out. And I look now, Locatelli, who scored two today, he impressed me in the first game, because I've seen the Turks try to man mark Jorginho, who's the pivotal playmaker, so he went alongside, so it showed intelligence. And now he's backed up that with two goals. You know, he's hit a great switch ball to the wing. Berardelli is Sassuolo clubmate, and then just made this 30-40 yard run into there to then break the deadlock. But his second goal was a great strike on the edge of the box. And now, I mean, I look at him, he's only 23, and I think, you know, Sassuolo are a very attractive football side in the Serie A, but now you're going to think that he's going to be high on a lot of managers' shopping lists after this tournament.
Well, and when you take a look ahead to the next matchup for Italy, they'll take on Wales on Sunday, a Welsh team that remains unbeaten, a draw, and today a victory 2-0 over Turkey. Sets up a pretty important game specifically for Wales, but that's a pretty good way to close out Group A in the group stage.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what they do next, because you think really, realistically, they've got, you know, the only one that can overtake them is Wales. They've basically secured the advancement now, because they got 6 points on the board.
Yep.
You know, really, you look at what the Swiss and the Turks, they've got to play against each other. Turkey are minor, they haven't got any points. You know, Swiss have got 1 point. The late goal from Wales against the Swiss is massive, and that keeper more, because that could prove the deciding factors. Because as we know, there's four teams out of a group of six that can, six groups that can advance with the best third place finisher. So now that game for Wales is, do they go all guns blazing because they want to make sure they get more points, or is a point enough? Will they hold them back? Because they've shown even today, against, you know, Wales against Turkey, they're okay not having the lion's share of the possession, you know, because by the numbers, they're 36% of the ball, but we're able to hit them on the counter. Aaron Ramsey was very good. He's another quality player. And, you know, even with Gareth Bale's missed PK, they still did enough to score. So that's going to be an interesting one. I think Italy are going to start rotating. They do have a deep squad. You look with Chiellini, you know, their key centre-back did go off with a bit of an injury concern early. But, you know, they kept their 10th consecutive shutout. That's 900 minutes of international football without a ball going in the back of their net. That's amazing.
Yep, it truly is. So Wales, 2-0 over Turkey. Italy, 3-0 over Switzerland. Those are your two Group A matches today. In Group B, we also had a Russian win over the Finns. We talked about this yesterday. Russia needed a win here after losing to Belgium in their first game. What'd you make of a 1-0 Russia win over Finland today?
It was good. It was a very lively start. I mean, within the first 10 minutes, there could have been a goal. You know, I really like the way the Finns are trying to get, you know, approach this tournament. They're looking at Russia, who are, you know, this World Cup quarterfinalists when they hosted it in 2018, and St. Petersburg, where they played today, was one of the key stadiums. So they've entered it, you know, and they could have gone, been daunted by the occasion, but attacked it. And well, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, but Paul Giampaolo, who scored today, but it was deemed offside, was a great header. And he was the one that scored against Denmark, the winning goal. You know, had he scored that 0-0, suddenly, their shoulders are up. They're ready to fight to the end. But it did take a moment of brilliance from the Russian Maranchuk. I thought it was a well-worked move. A lot of give and goes around the edge of the box. And quality counts in these tournaments. And he's bent a lovely left-footed strike into the top corner. And it was just then a bit too much for the Finns to come back. But it was a really good game. I thought, you know, Finns continue to impress me because what they've got and the size of the population there. And they're still producing, you know, against a big Russian side, a combative performance that kept them in it all the way through to the 90-plus minutes that were played.
Tommy Wealdon Jr. is with us, Cavalry FC, and our Euro 2020 analyst as we continue working through the group stage at Euro 2020. More Group B tomorrow, Denmark with a huge test against Belgium. And now you take a look at where things sit right now, a pretty important game for Denmark too.
Oh, it's massive. And emotionally, you know, things are going to be riding high there. I think it's going to be an important game for them. You know, the fact that they're playing against Belgium, who are, you know, FIFA's number one ranked team, will be hard enough. And emotionally, you know, hopefully they're seeing, you know, the images, the communication that's come out of the Christian Eriksen camp that, you know, he's on the repair now, will lift them. And hopefully they put in a good performance against a very good Belgium, because you just want some type of poetic result for Denmark at some stage in this tournament, because, you know, that's what it's about for them.
As we take a look at Group C action tomorrow as well, both Austria and the Netherlands victorious in their first leg, they meet tomorrow. That first game for the Dutch was a lot of fun, a lot of action. What do you expect? What do you expect as the Netherlands takes on Austria tomorrow?
Well, I think it's an important one because Austria had a decent showing in their first game. You know, scored three goals. I think they'll be without Arnautovic because he's, you know, their striker that's been important to them through the qualifiers. I think he scored 6 and 8 coming through. He was either not pleased about not starting in the first game, but he's been suspended for a game given his comments after he celebrated. You know, I don't speak that language, nor am I a great lip reader, but obviously it would have been something, you know, bad that he said. That being said, they've both got 3 points. They're both top of the table right now. I think the Netherlands need to take care of this game. It will not be an easy game by any shape or fashion because I think the Austrians are quite well set up. But again, whoever wins this one, you know, cements themselves into the knockout stages.
Ukraine and North Macedonia is the other match tomorrow. Hey, Ukraine pushed the Netherlands, so here's a real opportunity for them to pick up their first victory over North Macedonia in their first time in the tournament.
Yeah, and I think North Macedonia, you know, they showed in the first game that they're not here to just make up the numbers. They're here to take part and be respected. And like we've talked about, the ages wonder in Goran Pandev, he scored for them. So, I mean, they're no pushovers, no walkovers. But Ukraine, after their performance or their comeback against the Netherlands, they've got to be looking to put 3 points on the board, because if they don't, you know, they go into the final game chasing that ability to finish as the highest placed third place. But that's what makes it interesting this year, because it'll be interesting to see in each camp how they're working out, you know, well, if we win this one, does it then put us in the running? Because if you are 4 out of 6, you're within there, but it depends on who you cross over. I think me being in the mind of a coach, I always wanted to approach every game and say, look, let's concentrate on the game in front of us. Let's just try and get 3 points on the board. And let's make sure we just keep putting points in the bank. And then once we get to the knockout round, let's focus on who we've got there. And I think most of the coaches are of that ilk.
We're in conversation with Tommy Wealdon Jr. This is our Euro 2020 report for our friends at Hyatt Infinity. Let's shift the focus a little bit more domestic, away from Euro for a second. But we talked going into this match last night about how monumental it was for Canadian soccer. They do end up getting it done. They score 3. Haiti does not score at all. So Canada wins 4-0 on aggregate in their two-leg set against Haiti. And Canada is on to the octagonal. What'd you think of John Herdman's squad in a 3-0 win last night?
I think he's done a brilliant job. I always admire leaders that do things and live by their words. And he's took over. And at the time, he's come from the women's program, and we had great success. There was a bit of controversy around it. And he's just said, listen, here's the reason why I want to do it. You know, the FIFA monies get funded into the country through the FIFA World Cup on the men's side. So whether that's right, wrong, or otherwise, it's the way the game is working presently. He's taken the bold movement to say, if I want to change the landscape of the game in this country, I have to do it, you know, on the men's game and making sure that we're qualifying for big tournaments and World Cups and doing well. And he said that we're on a change. We've got to get to the octagon, which is the first time. It used to be the hex, but with the COVID constraints, they've changed the qualifying process. You know, when they qualified in 97, actually, I was having this chat with my assistant coach, Martin Nash, who was part of that group that played in the hex. And he was reliving some of the tough games that you'd have when you'd go down to the Panamas and the Honduras and the Jamaicas, where the pitches weren't as good back then. Now you're in against the big guns. You've got US, Mexico, Costa Rica, Jamaica, Honduras, and as well you've got El Salvador and Panama. So you've got to be thinking, both US and Mexico are going to be tough to beat. And if they are, you know, in the one or two, how do you get up enough points and maybe take free hits against them, pick up points on the road? Can you be in that top three conversation? And if you do finish in fourth, you've got the intercontinental battle across. But it's great. I mean, like we talked about before on the previous shows, it's probably the most exciting attacking team they've got. But what's even great from the Calgarian perspective is Scott Kennedy, who's, you know, he's done the road less traveled and went over to Austria as a young lad and now in Germany's Division Two. He played well in both games against Haiti, as well as Sam Adekubi. So from a Calgarian perspective, it's nice that we're putting players on that map to affect these conversations for the future generation coming out of Calgary.
You talked about now being with the big guns and taking on some really world-class nations now in the Final Eight. How do you handicap Canada against some of the opposition they're going to be playing here in the next number of months as they attempt to qualify for the World Cup?
Well, what they've got now, actually, is they've actually got the Gold Cup as a great run-up towards these qualification matches that happen in September and October. So I think their first game is for the first round of the octagonal games is in September against Honduras, which, you know, that brings back nightmares for some, but a chance to erase those for others. And I think John's that type of coach that will put it as the latter versus the former. You're also looking at, Atiba Hutchinson, who's been one of the best Canadian players of this generation, or maybe of all time. You know, is he available to come back into this? Scott Arfield at Rangers didn't play in these qualifiers, but maybe he's available to come back in, whether that's a Gold Cup or that. I think they've got a very strong squad, so there's hopefully an abundance of riches to go into this. But by using the Gold Cup, I think this is, 23-odd games for Canada to be playing in a calendar year, which is unheard of.
Yeah. Well, and the opportunity, because obviously we're all focused on 2026, Tommy, and a chance for Canada to host games. But from a development standpoint, to be able to qualify in some form or another for 2022, and then we're talking about the potential to have back-to-back World Cup appearances for this Canadian national team. How massive a step forward would that be?
Massive. And I remember if you've listened to any of John's interviews, even he did that with the CPL coaches, he's done it at AGMs, he's done it in the media, and he said, look, if we're to be a host country in 2026 and we do get that spot, that's yet to be officially confirmed, but you'd like to believe with the expanded World Cup format of 48 when it gets to, US, Mexico and Canada as host nations, that they would be one that would be given. And he said, why not earn the right first? Let's have this group earn the right so that they go through what a World Cup cycle is about. So when they do get the chance to be one of the host countries, they're more the wiser for it, because you've got to be battled hard, and it is a good young squad. So when you look at the age groups of, I was fortunate enough to be in a U15 Canada camp under Sean Fleming as the coach with Jonathan David and Alfonso Davies. You look at their age group. You look at now the youngsters in, Kyle Larin still of a good age, Marc-Anthony Kay, Stefan Estacio. These guys are all in their mid-20s that could do a couple of these World Cup cycles. That's important. So by being able to earn it and be at Qatar will make them an even better force for if we qualify, when we get the 2026 World Cup too. And I always say, this is the ripple effect that's going to have on this country, that yes, we can talk about ourselves as actual, a soccer playing nation, because I always remember, when US hosted it in 94, being in England, you know, it was often frowned upon, well, they don't really play soccer in that country. But now you see them and you see all the Pulisic's of this world, you know, having an impression overseas. They actually are, and they're respected around the world. And I think that's starting to happen with Canada now with you know, Alphonso Davies and Jonathan David.
Yeah, 100%. And that was really cool to see Canada pick up that victory in Chicago over Haiti. Just as we wrap up, Tommy, about a week and a half away from your first match in the CPL with mm-hmm. Cavalry. You'll take on York United coming up next Sunday. Want to close out our segments for the next little bit mm-hmm. and you can put a little focus on the Cavs. Sure. And let's I maybe do a little bit of a player focus. Let's start with Calgary's Marco Carducci, your goalkeeper, into year three with your squad. Tell us about Marco's growth and the expectations for him this season.
Do you know what? He's an incredible human being, first and foremost. I think that's I think your ceiling is only as big as your character, because I think he's got the ability. We've always known that, you know, whether he's coming up, I think he came up through the Calgary Villains community here, then he went to Whitecaps, then he bounced around into the States. And I brought him back when I was at Calgary Foothills with the PDL squad to give him a place to just grow. As goalkeepers get better with age, I mean, I think, you know, Italy's goalie Donnarumma was one of those rare entities that was playing for AC Milan as a 17-year-old. Usually you start to see goalkeepers in their early 20s to mid-20s starting to get a run of games. I think it's very similar in the NHL. But what he's done now is he's an old head on young shoulders. He's always been terrific with the ball at his feet and in his hands. He's a great distributor of the ball. He's great at reflexes. Now he's adding more to his game. He's almost being the quarterback when we have possession, you know, and he's being the defensive guard when we don't, and organizing what's in front of him. There's a maturity to his play. He's had an incredible offseason. I mean, he's come back. He was always a lean guy now, but he's come back shredded and more flexible, which just gets him to better 1v1. And he's focused. And I think, you know, he won the best player of the year in 2019 based on data for the Volkswagen Performers. But he's not happy to just leave it there. He wants to keep getting better, and that then becomes infectious with the rest of the group, and he's driving the team on to be better in front of him.
It's outstanding stuff. Year three for Marco Carducci and Cavalry FC starts next Sunday in Winnipeg. Outstanding as always, Tommy. We'll do it all over again tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $499 down.